I'm finding victory over childhood abuse, addiction to depression, addiction to alcohol, currently working on what I call relationship skills, and my name is Paul. I'd like to pray over this, one of my favorite prayers. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created. You shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructs the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations through Jesus, our Messiah and our Lord. Amen. Thank you. Romans 12:2a exhorts me not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I want to prove to your satisfaction that Jesus has done and is continuing to do this for me. I started out in Astoria, part of New York City, the second of three children. My older sister was 4 years ahead of me, and my younger sister followed me by a year and a half. My parents both had a drinking problem. When I was about three, I was rolling an empty beer can across the floor. My dad wanted me to stop, but my mom wasn't concerned because she thought there would be no harm done. They got into an argument. And my dad, resorting to rage as he often did, grabbed the beer can and hit me on the head for not listening to him. The result was an even louder argument, and I ran into my bedroom crying. When I was six, we moved to Huntington, Long Island, but my parents' drinking and raging continued. One time when I was eight, my older sister, who was 12, hadn't finished doing the dishes. My parents hadn't been drinking, but the two of them ripped into her about not having the dishes done, and my sister was sobbing hysterically. I was so angry at them and terrified at the same time. Home is not a safe place, and if that's the case, then there is no safe place anywhere. We moved to Centerport, Long Island when I was 10 and in the middle of fourth grade. A year later, I was going to a Boy Scout father-son dinner, and my dad was too drunk to go. My mom apparently had contacted the scoutmaster, and he showed up with an assistant and talked Dad into not going, and the scoutmasters took me with them. At the end of the dinner, all of the scouts, and there were about 18 of us, stood in a large circle, and our father stood behind us and put their hands on their son's shoulders. Each father in turn pledged their devotion to their son and promised to guide them into manhood. I was without my father, but I felt a pair of hands on my shoulder. I shot up to see who was the assistant scoutmaster. I glanced over to his son to see that their mother was standing behind their son. Apparently, during the dinner, the assistant scoutmaster called home to set this up. I felt loved and humiliated at the same time that I have to put them through this. A year after that, we left for a town in Westchester County, New York. The move for me was a real downer. I had friends in Centerport, and even though Dad's drinking caused problems, having friends seemed to allow me to enjoy life to some degree. In Westchester County, however, I didn't seem to fit in. When I started seventh grade, I had a teacher who was one of the more popular teachers in school. He was complimenting me about how good my work was. Wow, was I ever thirsty for compliments, and from one of the more popular teachers. A couple of months after the class started, he asked me if I would join him in his apartment. I wasn't sure what was going on. Part of me wanted to say no, but another part of me didn't want to jeopardize his positive comments or the nice grades I was getting. And for whatever the reason, I said yes, and I wound up in his apartment. It may have been on a second or third visit when he stopped me in a hall and began to sexually assault me. My heart was pounding. I don't remember anything after the start of that assault, no matter how often I've tried to remember. I just don't know. I don't remember how I got home. The last half of that assault was just a total blank. I didn't tell anyone for several reasons. I was afraid to tell my alcoholic, rageaholic parents. I was too ashamed to tell my sisters. I couldn't go to school and complain because I didn't think anyone would take my word over one of their more popular teachers. And finally, and this is the one that I just realized when I started doing this testimony, I wasn't raised with enough sense of self to complain to anyone else, like the police, for instance. At the age of 12, I was all alone. completely alone, isolated. I don't remember his asking me to go back to his apartment, but I must have agreed to. Remember, I'm still going back to his class. And I have no idea why I went back, and that had plagued me for years. Maybe it was because I was afraid that he would flunk me and fearful that my dad would rage over that. Maybe his asking took me by surprise, and I didn't think to say, let me think about it. Maybe it was because I was so starved for attention that I hoarded myself to get that attention. But for whatever the reason or reasons, I said yes, and from that point on, I felt trapped. That's when the self-contempt and the depression started. I didn't know it was depression because I wasn't talking to anybody about this or anything else for that matter. I despised myself for winding up in this trap. I despised myself for being needy. From that point on, all my interaction with anyone was only on a superficial level. I kept as low profile as possible for the next 4.5 years. Meanwhile, I was slipping deeper and deeper into depression. When a depressive episode would start, I would focus on negative things that would pull me deeper down. It was like sipping battery acid and let it drip on my heart. I would think of suicide. Many times I'd sit in my room with a razor against the vein on the back of my hand, and that would deepen the depression experience. I'm now convinced that I was addicted to depression. After several hours, I'd begin to feel overloaded with this, and I would snap out of it. For me, that was to somehow shut down emotionally. That meant my emotional cycle went from spiraling down to depression and then back to feeling nothing. And that was my experience for years. I don't remember how frequent these cycles were, maybe a couple of days, maybe sometimes a week. At the end of my junior year, I found the courage to stop seeing him, and I thought I'd be elated, but instead, I felt nothing. I had no idea what an emotional basket case I was, and I just continued to float in and out of depressive episodes. I think it was in my senior year when I came closest to ending it all. I spent one night with a .410 shotgun barrel aimed at my forehead and a rifle butt on the floor. For some reason, I started having a real fear that if I killed myself, I would wind up in hell. This had to be from God, because I am not a Christian at that time and had zero experience about spiritual things. So where else could that come from? But at the time, I was not aware that it was God intervening to keep me alive. I again despised myself for not having the courage to do this, and secondly, I believe I could always opt out at some later date. And that was my life philosophy for years. School was a struggle for me because I did not know that one of the symptoms of depression is the inability to concentrate. So from the seventh grade on, homework was always a struggle, a real downer. A pattern was emerging, the pattern I know now, symptomatic of self-contempt. I could not allow myself to enjoy success at anything. January of my senior year, I met a good-looking girl with an incredible smile. We started dating and our relationship took off. We dated every weekend, spent a lot of time on the phone between weekends. Often I would daydream about our getting married, and that meant I would need a decent job, and I'd probably have to go to college to do that. I knew that because I was struggling with homework in high school, I doubt that I'd be very little chance of my going to college. That only contributed to my depression on an ongoing basis. As our relationship progressed, I struggled with telling her about the teacher. I was so afraid of the shame of it all that if she found out, that she just might cut the relationship off. When I graduated from high school, I didn't really know what to do. I turned 18 that summer and I got a call from the Air Force recruiter. And I guess I could postpone telling my girlfriend about the teacher and run away from my parents' stuff all at the same time. I remember that phone call. It was on my birthday. I turned 18 in July. Guy says, I'm Sergeant so-and-so from the Air Force. What are you going to do with your life? And I said, I don't know. He said, you want to join the Air Force? And I said, I'm not making this up, without even taking any time to think about it, I said, how soon can you get me in? That's how much thought I get. I get about that much thought. And he starts to stutter, and he says, well, you know, we closed our testing in this area for 30 days. After that, we can go back to testing. And I said to him, is that the best you can do? And by this time, he's thinking he's being pranked. They didn't have that term back then, but, you know, I'm sure that's what he was thinking. He said, well, you can go to Mount Kisco tomorrow, and we'll test you there. I said, let's do it. I mean, just, I'm serious. It just came out of my mouth. Anyway, so I did. So I joined the Air Force, and I was gone in about 7 days. I didn't see the pattern, even though I kept repeating it, and that was to feed self-content by sabotaging success. In this case, a successful relationship with my girlfriend. What I was doing was running away from home and hoping I could run away from my problems. And we all know how successful that is, right? When I was in basic training, I met with someone who was going to schedule my tech training. He said that my entrance scores were high enough that I could have any tech school the Air Force offered. I told him I didn't care. I had no idea how deep that self-contempt was running. I didn't even know I had an issue with self-contempt. Talk about denial. I wound up in radio repair. My drinking was increasing, but not as bad as when I was transferred to a strategic air command base. Drinking often after work and definitely on weekends was typical. Another pattern that showed up when I was drinking is I couldn't remember the last half of the night, and that was every time I was drinking. 2 years later, I was transferred to a radar site in Vietnam, and when I got to Da Nang, I found out that my dad had been dead for more than 2 weeks. I didn't cry. I was just numb. But then I'm used to that. The drinking continued. One night, I stayed on site and helped someone drain a bottle of AK-AK. That's what they used to call ancient age. I don't know if they make that anymore, and I really don't care. The next day, I was told a 2F4 slammed into an adjoining mountain the previous night, and the fuel in the ordnance erupted into flames. And they said I was just left the building, and I saw the explosion. And they said I looked at the fire, and I said, war is hell, and I staggered off the bed. I didn't remember any of that. I made it back to Travis Air Force Base in California, where I was discharged. From there, I went to Wheaton, Maryland, and got a job in auto collections. But the drinking continued. One night I was driving home after drinking and I passed out while making a left turn and I spread the front wheels of the company car. I wasn't fired for it, but I knew I was pushing my luck. I stayed in collections for about a year and a half and then I moved to Miami. I started with Greyhound as an apprentice mechanic and started attending Miami-Dade Junior College. I got involved in a relationship with a woman who might have been described as a common-law wife with another man. That didn't bother me because I wasn't looking for a long-term relationship, and apparently neither was she. After about 3 or so years, that relationship waned. Maybe a year later, I met a woman, and after dating several months, we decided to get married. She had been divorced for 7 years and had an 8-year-old daughter. We were married a few months later. About a year after we were married, I adopted my stepdaughter. When I gave her my name, I was giving her my love as a dad, and I still only refer to her as my daughter and never stepdaughter. And I'm so proud to tell you what a strong believer she is in Jesus. Married, one kid, and a new job as a Greyhound bus driver, I thought things were going to finally change. They didn't. I just managed to suppress them a little better. After about 3 years into the marriage, I was involved in an affair. And after about a year, the one I was involved with started having stronger feelings, and that's not how this started out. I had to quit my job to get out of that situation, again, feeding self-contempt. Through the years, I let jobs with IBM, Greyhound, air traffic control, and other jobs slip through my fingers. I can write this testimony now, but when I was going through all of this, I could not put words to it. I was not only at a loss for words, but I lacked any way of making any sense of this. The self-contempt, depression, and drinking all continued to feed each other. I started attending church while I was dating my wife, and on our first year, Easter, listening to a Christian radio broadcast while getting ready for church, it was made clear to me that Jesus, in fact, rose from the dead in a bodily resurrection, and it could be proven. Wow. That meant that God is a miracle-working God. That means I could accept all of Scripture because I can't differentiate between Jesus being raised from the dead or the parting of the Red Sea or any other miracle for that matter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For the prophecy never had its origin in the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That is a miraculous process. But again, we're talking about a miracle-working God. About a year later, I attended a creation science seminar, and there they presented scientific fact after scientific fact that proved that any form of evolution is scientific fraud. Wow, again. Now I can believe Genesis 1:1, which says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Because it agreed with science, and I know that God is a miracle-working God. With the resurrection and creation, I became totally committed to the Bible. At about the same time, I was attending a Bill Gothard seminar on Miami Beach, where I asked Jesus into my life, and that was the start of a long, slow growth spiritually. I was attending a weekly Bible study when a woman who was a director of Contact Teleministries asked me if I would consider working on phones. I didn't think I was qualified to work the phones because I felt like I was too new Christian and I had too many problems to be any good and that I didn't have anything to offer. But then I was led to believe by the Holy Spirit that I'd always have problems. Imagine that. And that I should do this anyway. When I was working the phones, occasionally I would get a sensing that more was going on in the conversation than usual. Later on, I discovered what I was experiencing was the anointing. From this point on, when I use the phrase, I discovered, what I really mean is the Holy Spirit was showing me something that's called Rhema, and it means revelation. I started prison ministry back then. I went with the same understanding that I started the phone ministry, and that is, I don't have all the answers, but I am willing to serve. I wish I could tell you when the depression went away. I believe that God weaned me from it so gradually that I was unaware of my deliverance. But it was gone in a few years. The self-contempt, however, was always lurking in the shadows, keeping me from seeing the victories Jesus was winning in my life. The drinking became less of an issue as my bar-hopping days were over and the Holy Spirit, now in me, was slowly taking over. The marriage was lacking in emotional connection. I was seeing a counselor and occasionally trying to get something working, but my wife would refuse to go along, stating at one time that she felt she was being manipulated by my suggestion. My breakthrough came when I was 52 years old. I was reading Dan Allender's Wounded Heart. He's got a book and a workbook, and I recommend both of them. I discovered for the first time in my life that my core issue was self-contempt, and immediately four things came into view. That was the only time in my life when I got four Rhema word at the same time, and there's no sequence to them. It was just like all at the same time. Usually when you get a Rhema word, it's just one item at a time. First, I knew that how I had sabotaged success over and over again in my life. Second, I realized that the marriage I was in was feeding self-contempt because I despised myself for being in the marriage, and I realized I'd despise myself for leaving and admitting all those years were wasted. Third, remember I said that I was 52 when I was given these revelations? I was 12 when this started, and that's 40, and 40 is a significant number in the Bible. Amongst other things, it implies thoroughness. God was making it very clear to me that recovery is going to be accomplished through him. I remember being a little testy with him about this. I pointed out that a book and a workbook had been out for 10 years, and if he'd given me these revelations 10 years earlier, I'd already have 10 years of recovery. And he goes, yeah, that's true. Or I could give you these revelations 10 years from now. Then he says, or I didn't have to give you these revelations at all. Now, are you going to work with me or not? All I could do is say, yes, sir. Fourth, I realized that because of my skill at sabotaging success, I would actually fight Jesus in any healing plans he may have for me. I confessed that to Jesus, praying that he would help me over that hurdle, and I still continue to pray about that often daily. From the time I started as a follower of Jesus, I felt that the issue of discipling was important. I'm keenly aware that I cannot give away what I don't have. That means to disciple others, I had to grow as a disciple. To do that, I need to be involved in a five-step process. The first is prayer, second is Bible study, third is meditation, fourth is fellowship, and the fifth is giving Jesus time to work in my life. I was experiencing the anointing and his rhema word more frequently now, and life was becoming an adventure with new understandings that I was being blessed with. I was working two prisons, and that gave me the outlet to share what I was being shown. But I still wasn't doing well marriage-wise. I started meeting with a counselor, and for the first time in my life, laid out everything I'd been through. And in a little while, I was grouping with about him and six other men. We wound up meeting eventually every month, and this went on for years. But I had to learn how to share without being rejected. I realized that with my wife's pending retirement in 2010, we would both probably move to Tennessee where our daughter lives. That pushed me to finally make a decision, and that was to get a divorce. It took less than a paragraph or two of conversation to move forward with that. She got the annuities, I got the house. She moved to Tennessee a few months later, alone. It was almost like we both expected this to happen and each waited for the other one to move first. In February of 2011, I got a call from the woman who I dated and left in high school. We continued to stay in touch and decided that I should fly to Portland in March. When I met, I confessed everything I had held back from her when we were dating in high school. I also made it clear that I was truly sorry for treating her the way I did. She did forgive me. We enjoyed our very short visit. One thing led to another, and we eventually did get married. Her first husband died of cancer. My wife is from this area here, so we bought a house in Oregon City. We started attending Rolling Hills Church. At Rolling in Church, I heard about prison ministry, and I was referred to a Celebrate Recovery Inside lead, Kent W. He pointed out that I needed to be involved in the CR program outside while working the CR program inside. I started attending CR at Rolling Hills. Jack remembers that. I inquired about prison ministry, and I was, I started attending CR at Rolling Hills in November of 2012 and started working Steps in 2013. Steps pointed me to a sponsor and accountability partners, and both encouraged me to keep short accounts, which means dealing with issues and not letting them grow into something larger than they are. CR talks about dealing with hurts, hang-ups, and habits. That means to me that I need to deal with anything that interferes with my growing in Jesus, and that is an ongoing process. I use to share the CR process in prison, but during the COVID period, my state badge lapsed. Trying to get it relaunched was awkward, so I still do my prison ministry, prison fellowship, and I do my testimony there also. October 2nd of 2025. Was my 49th anniversary of prison ministry. I think the issue that meant most to me was lesson one, dealing with denial. I cannot get out of denial by myself because denial means I don't acknowledge I have a problem. Therefore, I need some outside source to reveal in those areas that I'm in denial about. CR does this very succinctly with the meetings, large and small, and with sponsors and accountability partners. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and that for me includes everyone in CR, you're part of the great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I'm also asked that Hebrews 12:2 then says, let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, that we can also do that through CR. CR uses a lot of acrostics. They have one for denial, and the I in denial stands for isolates, and that was my issue for years. I stayed in isolation, partially because of denial, partially because of shame, partially because I thought I'd be seen as a fool. The people I meet in CR, especially in the small share sessions and in steps, encourage me to deal with my stuff and not deny my stuff. I cannot stay isolated in the CR process. For those new to Celebrate Recovery, I would suggest you pursue the CR process one day at a time and that you give CR time to work in your life. This will take time. I finally have a safe place where I can let Jesus work on my anger issues at home and at CR. When I was working with my sponsor, it was clear that a lot of the spirit work that I've been doing over the years is affirmed by the CR process. For example, that five steps of spiritual growth that I talked about, prayer, Bible study, meditation, fellowship, and giving Jesus time to work in your life, I found that in life healing choices, and I found that in CR steps, those same five steps. And because of that, that's why I'm totally committed to CR. Jesus knew everything that happened to me and everything that I had done, yet he called me to be one of his disciples. John 15, 16a, Jesus states that you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will last. This motivates me to deal with my hurts, hang-ups, and habits. I'm committed to growing spiritually through that five-step process. And as I said before, knowing Jesus called me to be one of the disciples, even with my history, means to me, as it says in Isaiah 54, 4a, do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth. And because Jesus has done all these 4 points, done that, these 4 points are now operative in my life. I am delivered from shame. I have a new identity. My worth is established. And I now have purpose, which includes 2 Corinthians 1:4, which states, I can comfort all others with the comfort I have received from God. Thank you, and God bless you.